And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, you're on Canada's left coast at the time of this recording. I've been checking your itinerary. You've been a busy man. The World Resource Investment Conference, now the Global Chinese Financial Forum. And along the way, I would imagine that you've been meeting with some clients and companies. You getting any sleep at all out there?
Well, trying to. My main complaint right now would be the weather. I've seen the sun for about 3 hours in a week here, but it's supposed to be sunny sometime this weekend, so looking forward to that.
Okay, well, knowing Vancouverites, they'll break out the champagne when the sun does make its rare appearance out there. You know, we've covered a lot of the periodic table in this program, Mickey. Today we're back into the alkali metals group, specifically sodium. The first thing that came into my mind, and I would imagine the first thing that might pop into the minds of some of our listeners when they hear sodium, is table salt, the stuff that your doctor says that you might be getting too much of. But that is a huge component of this story, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's an essential nutrient for all animal life, but it needs to be taken in relatively small amounts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sodium's one of these alkali metals, and we're going to work our way down the left column of the periodic table. We've already done lithium last year, so we perhaps we'll revisit that at some point. But lithium, sodium, potassium, rubidium, cesium, and a very rare and odd metal called francium, they tend to be soft and silvery and highly reactive. And because they are so highly reactive, they do not occur as native elements. And in the case of sodium, the compounds that it forms are very important, in fact, of immense importance in industrial applications.
Okay. Let's begin with a bit of a history lesson for viewers on this, Mickey. I believe sodium first discovered in the 1800s. Walk us through how the demand for this ingredient has changed over the years in some of its applications.
Well, it was first isolated as a metal in 1807, but it has been used since antiquity. And sodium is very common in the Earth's crust. It's the sixth most abundant element, but it's mainly known as a rock-forming element in mm-hmm. feldspars and halite, which is rock salt, and natron, which is also called soda ash. So the latter two there have lots of uses and in compounds and industrial processes, etc. The history of sodium really starts with salt, and salt comes from the Roman term called salarium, mm-hmm. And that's translated into English as salary. So Roman soldiers were paid partially in wafers of salt, thereby the term worth their salt for a soldier that was good. Biblical references, the salt of the earth, basically referring to people that do jobs that are of importance and mm-hmm. relatively low-paying positions. So it has a long history. The Egyptians mined natron. And there were many wars and fought over salt. There was a salt slave gold trade into the Sahara. So it has a very long history.
An interesting point that I found in my research, Mickey, and I'll quote from an article, sodium is highly reactive. The pure metal is kept under oil or kerosene because it spontaneously ignites in water. Also interesting to note that sodium metal also floats on water. I had no idea.
Well, it's very high up in the periodic table at number 11, so it has a very low density. And all these alkali metals are very reactive with water and in some cases extremely explosive. Biggest market is for salt and natron or trona or soda ash, whichever one you want to call it.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit about soda ash in a second here. We mentioned salt. We're all familiar with that. I think other products include baking soda, baking powder, soaps, and detergents. Is this more of a sodium used there to make it kind of change the appearance, make it a little bit more palatable in our use of those ingredients?
Well, in the case of that comes into the trona or natron end of it. The the salt sodium chloride is the historic use, along with natron in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking an immense industry, $1.7 billion industry in the U.S., 40% of salts used in the chemical industry, about an equal amount is used for road de-icing. Mm-hmm. Certainly that's got to be an important use in your part of the world in the winter.
Indeed, yeah.
And we commonly think of table salt, but that only comprises 4% of the market, 4% agricultural, which are additives basically to ensure domesticated animals get their salt requirement, which it is an essential nutrient for all animal life.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Imports about 22% of its salt. China is the world's largest producer, followed by the U.S., followed by Germany, followed by India. So you look at kind of three of the four countries in the world with the highest population,
mm-hmm.
and then Germany, which is probably about the fourth largest economy in the world. There are no economic substitutes for salt. It's produced by a variety of means, room and pillar rock salt mines, solar evaporation, solution mining, and then a process of mechanical evaporation. Interesting to me is, being an industrial mineral, transportation costs are of paramount importance. And in the case of salt, sometimes the shipping costs can exceed the actual value of the salt, so shipping is a very important part of this equation.
Okay, now you referred to soda ash a little bit earlier. What exactly is soda ash? Tell us about the market and the demand for that.
Well, soda ash is actually sodium carbonate, and it occurs in dry lake beds, some of those buried under subsequent sedimentation, especially in Wyoming. The mineral is known as natron. It's essentially hydrated sodium carbonate. The beds themselves are called trona beds, and the U.S. has the world's best deposits that dominate the natural mine production of soda ash, something on the order of 80% of the world's mined soda ash comes from Wyoming mainly,
mm-hmm.
and then where there are beds mined by room and pillar methods underground, and then in California, the famous or infamous Searles Lake, which is a brine lake. But soda ash is used for a variety of industrial raw material processes, mainly in the glass industry. Almost half of the use is in the glass industry. Chemical industry, about 30%. And 10% as detergents.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at sodium carbonate and then some byproducts, baking soda, sodium bicarbonate, sodium sulfide, sodium sulfate, caustic soda, which is sodium hydroxide used in industrial processes, etc. Once again, this is a fairly large industry. In the U.S., it's something on the order of $1.3 billion a year. U.S. dominates mine production, as I said, but the synthetic production is something almost three times the order of mine production. But that comes at a cost. It's an expensive process, and it has environmental consequences. So we're seeing some developments in other parts of the world, including China and the Middle East, to develop mine sources of natron or trona.
Okay, a large industry, an even longer list of ways that this is a very important ingredient in our society, but let's bring this down to an investing angle. Mickey, is there anything that the listener can do to try to make money off of sodium? Are there companies out there that specifically focus on mining this?
Well, there are certainly companies that specifically focus on mining salt and producing salt from solar evaporation and solution mining. And then the big chemical companies in the soda ash business. But this is an order of magnitude. magnitude larger than any of the companies, or two orders of magnitude larger. To my knowledge, other than the rock salt companies, these tend to be integrated chemical companies such as FMC, Solvay, the giant Belgium chemical company, Owen Illinois, General Chemical. It's interesting to me the U.S. is the a net exporter of soda ash at 50% of the U.S.'s soda ash goes overseas, yet the U.S. industry is 62% foreign-owned. So we only own 38% of our own dominant industry. So it's something that it's not really relevant for what we do in the junior resource sector, with the exception of sodium cyanide. And sodium cyanide is the way that gold is extracted. So
right.
From that point of view, it does have immense importance to the junior and senior mining industry in the world for recovery of gold. There's a variety of cyanide products, and it may surprise the listener to learn that sodium cyanide and various more complex compounds based on sodium cyanide are used in major industrial organic chemistry applications, the medical industry, pest control, and believe it or not, Rob, as food additives. So you have sodium cyanide in lots of manufactured food products.
That really puts me at ease when I rip open a package of something. You know what? Nowadays, you just never know what the heck you're shoving in your mouth, right?
Well, and in that regard, sodium cyanide is not poison. Sodium cyanide is only poisonous in presence of acids where it's converted to cyanide gas, hydrogen cyanide gas, and then it's deadly. So anyway, lots of applications that most people weren't probably aware of.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, 2 weeks from now, what do you want to focus on?
Well, we're going to work our way once again down the periodic table, and the next alkalic metal is potassium, and once again does not have any major uses as a metal, but it does have particular interest as a fertilizer, the mineral known as potash.
Okay, meantime, I think you're off to the Big Apple next, is that correct?
Well, we're going to do the Global Chinese Financial Forum tomorrow in the Vancouver area, and then this time next week I'll be on my way to New York to do a Murdoch Capital Partners symposium with invited companies, and it's based on critical metals. So I'll be in the Big Apple 3 or 4 days, and always welcome a trip to New York City.
Okay, and maybe an opportunity to catch a ball game while you're there. Thanks very much for this, Mickey.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
Okay, that is Mickey Fult, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.